From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, how's life treating you? I feel like, can you believe it's almost September?
No, I cannot. And I can't believe that people are already drinking their PSLs.
Oh, man.
I'm not ready for it.
That's
pumpkin spice latte for all you non-basic folk out there.
I don't know. Is that? Yeah, non-basic. Yeah, okay, exactly.
Yes,
good. Yeah.
I actually did order, I got some, I think it's called Skinny Mixes, and it's like sugar-free syrup that you put in your coffee, and I just had to get pumpkin spice, and then I got a couple other flavors too, and I ordered that today.
So you're kind of basic too?
I'm semi-basic. I don't get the lattes because I can't drink that many calories. Like, I need to eat solid food. I just can't drink the calories anymore.
Yeah, no,
It's
been a long time since I had a pumpkin spice latte, but pumpkin pie for the win.
Yes.
That is my fall time take. But we're not even close to fall. It's still 90 degrees here. Anyway, we're yammering about pumpkins. We've got some disc golf stuff to talk this week on the show. Katrina Allen is going to stop by. We'll catch up with her about her win at the Ledgestone Insurance Open from about a week and a half ago. And should be good stuff. We got some news to run down, Sarah. So first of all, we've got award winners. PDGA Awards kind of came out this week, and now it was kind of a couple awards we had already announced. We did Rookie of the Year earlier this year, and that was Luke Humphries and Christine Jennings. I was about to say Luke Jennings and Christine Humphries. Oh man, I need more coffee.
It's only Wednesday.
But they were the rookies of the year, and we talked about them earlier this year, so I don't want to gloss over them too much, but I do want to point out the awards that we didn't really get to, which was the Bob West Memorial Sportsmanship Award. And Sarah, disc golf's most handsome man is also disc golf's most sporting man. It was Cale Levisca, was voted by fellow players and disc golf stakeholders as the Bob West Memorial Sportsman. And to me, I'm not sure that there's anyone more deserving than Cale. Sarah, what was your reaction to seeing Cale win that award?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. I've played one practice round with him at Worlds in Vermont, and he was just super welcoming. He had played the course before. I didn't. It was Brewster's Ridge, and there's lots of different intricacies about that course, and he kind of like helped me figure out landing zones and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, I would say he totally embodies sportsmanship.
Yeah, Cale, I raise my Starbucks coffee to you, because that's where I always see Cale Levisca on tours at Starbucks. So good stuff, and congratulations to Cale. Also, the Brent Hamrick Tournament Director of the Year went to none other than Nate Heinold, the director of the Ledgestone Insurance Open and in 2019 Pro Worlds. I think he's very well deserving of that honor. He has, you know, grown Ledgestone into this huge event. I think there were more than 1,000 people there last week. Obviously, the World Championships went off without a hitch. He's going to be hosting more World Championships in 2022 now, for, I believe it's the Masters and Junior Worlds divisions. So very well-deserving, Nate. I want to give a shout-out to Bill Newman, the Volunteer of the Year. Sarah, you know Newman, right?
Of course I do.
Oh, such a good dude.
Newman and I are tight.
Yeah. Bill has really spearheaded a lot of work on the environmental side. He works with the PDGA Environmental Committee to start the Throw Green initiative. He's worked with Throw Pink. He likes to throw with different colors, basically, is what Bill Newman does.
Well, he's sponsored by Throw Pink. We're actually sponsored by Innova and Throw Pink together. So
very nice.
Yes.
But I mean, he puts his heart and soul into disc golf, all just for, you know, a thank you. And he's a great ambassador and just really, really hard to come by a better volunteer than Bill Newman. So I know he occasionally listens to the show. So Bill, if you are listening, congratulations. Thank you for all you do for the sport and for the PDGA.
And we definitely need to have him on the show soon. Yeah. I thought that independently, but he may or may not have messaged me a few days ago, putting in a good word for himself as a guest on the show. And I, totally
I don't know.
Agree.
Do we have enough time in the show to have Bill Newman on? I love
we'll
Bill.
Make time.
He'll talk to us for a while. No, I bet he's got some good stories, man. What's his PDGA number is? Is he a four-digiter? I think he has 1603, man. He's got some stories.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that.
So we should have him on. He'd be
definitely
a good. He'd be a fun one to have on. And then in addition to Cale and Bill Newman, we also had Donna Stanley winning the Senior Player of the Year award, John Lixette with the Edge and PDGA Educational Award, and also the board recognized Conrad Damon as the Rules Committee Chair. He was the Rules Committee Chair for 10 years. Dang. You can read up on all these awards over at pdga.com on the front page. But congratulations to our award winners. And let's also, and there were also Player of the Year, but we talked Player of the Year earlier this year. It was Macbeth and Pierce. And then we also had European Players of the Year, Kristin Tatar and Simon Lazat. So, great stuff from all of them. In other news over at the PDGA website, Sarah, today is the day, and actually it's going to be on probably by the time we're done recording this, the Dynamic Disc Open on CBS Sports Network. We get to see what the Jomez pros have put together. I've seen some screenshots. UltiWorld had kind of a review. They got their hands on it beforehand and got to see what it was all about. It looks to be a very well-polished, nicely put together product, which who would expect anything less from Jomez. And if you want to know how to follow all this, sir, it's over on the PDGA website right now. Starts tonight. Basically, I'll make it easy for everybody. It's the next four nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can check it out on the CBS Sports Network app or CBSSports.com, or if you have DirecTV channel 221, Dish Network channel 158. And you can, sign up for several different trial runs of things if you really want to watch it. So, Sarah, are you planning to check out the Dynamic Disc Open?
I am. My dad conveniently shared his Xfinity password with us a couple months ago, so
nice.
We will be using that to log in.
I may or may not be using my parents' DirecTV login, so there you go.
Perfect.
I feel like our parents are all enabling us in the younger generation to cut the cord, because they don't want to cut the cord.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, it works. It's nice for me. I do feel a little bit guilty because I don't pay them for their password. Maybe I need to pitch in a little bit.
We rarely use his account unless there's something we really want to watch. So this falls under that category.
Yeah, I only use it to watch sports, which that falls under this category as well. So
yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Mom and Dad. Those are the big pieces of news right now in disc golf land, and really, excited to see how the coverage comes out, and maybe what the. I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not ramifications or fallout, because those have negative connotations. But what the upshot is from this, CBS Sports broadcast, and if we start to see another influx of new players like we've already been experiencing, I really hope so. I think it's a really big opportunity for disc golf. So thank you to Jomez and Dynamic Disc and the Disc Golf Pro Tour and everyone involved in putting on that production. All right. Sarah, let's go and talk with Katrina Allen, shall we?
Yes, we had a great conversation with her.
Yeah, and then when we come back, we'll do some hot rounds, we'll chop it up a little bit, and we will let you get on with your day. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. All right, joining us now on the program, if you listen to other podcasts, you may have heard her already the last couple weeks, but that is what happens when you win the Ledgestone Insurance Open. It is Katrina Allen. Katrina, how's it going? How are things since Ledgestone treating you?
Pretty good. Just doing the 14-day quarantine so we can play MVP and GMC up in the Northeast.
All right, we will talk about that. I definitely have some quarantine questions for you. But first, you know, I mean, we didn't catch up last week. We're catching up, you know, a little bit more than a week and a half or so removed from the big win at Ledgestone. So now that you've had a little more time to kind of digest it and reflect on it, you know, what do you take away the most from the victory?
So actually it's funny that you say that, because just a day or two ago, my new coach, Natalie Holikoy, sent me a message on what I needed to do, you know, to kind of reflect and things like that. And so I've actually just recently done this, and I think what I take the most from it is I just felt like I went back to being old Cat and just really not allowing anything to bother the one shot I have at the moment. So whether that was a missed putt a few holes ago, an out of bounds shot, whatever it was like I just was in that one moment and just really being proud of that, and just taking in how it felt and how confident I felt, and just remembering that all I need to do is play my game and my golf, and that is usually good enough to place where I need to or want to.
So speaking of Natalie being your mental coach now, you mentioned that, I think you mentioned that in an after round interview, right after one of your rounds at Ledgestone, and I caught that. So what are some tidbits, if you are comfortable sharing a tidbit or two, that Natalie has kind of ingrained in you in the past few weeks?
I feel like what we kind of, when me and her talked, and we talked for a while, we actually just decided to talk, just to catch up, just as friends, you know, and it kind of went into all this stuff when we started talking about disc golf. And then, like I said, she has a master's in coaching. And I feel like I'm really good about that in like my daily life, or whether it's health or fitness. Like if I'm traveling and I have to eat McDonald's for breakfast, I'm not like, oh my God, now you're going to gain all this weight, that's so bad for your body. I just am like, okay, I'm going to eat McDonald's for breakfast and then just get right back on schedule. If I miss a gym day or I'm somewhere and there's not a gym and I have to improvise, I'm so good at that. And then it was like on the course, I would miss one putt or throw one shot out of bounds, and it was just like, you know, creeping into the rest of my round, or all these horrible thoughts came, or, and really just, she was just teaching me how to kind of take what I take on a daily basis with some other things that I feel confident about, and really just teaching me to, just be in the moment and really just try to find, like, it could literally just be like, okay, it's not my shot, or I'm walking to the next hole, I'm like, oh, okay, the birds are singing and it's really pretty out, and I'm just really thankful to be out here playing golf, and just getting, you know, your mind to a very positive and grateful kind of gratitude place.
That's awesome. That's a really interesting comparison to make, like between the normal, first of all, I wish I could be like, hey, I'm going to eat McDonald's and everything's going to be okay. but I mean, that's a really interesting dynamic. I think some people find that useful. So do you feel like after this and with Natalie kind of pushing you along and just where you're at right now, do you kind of feel like you have your swagger back?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I just, maybe even a different swagger. Like even a, I don't know, kind of even a better swagger. Like, I don't know, just like, I kind of mentioned this in another podcast, but like, I'm just going to be Cat, whether people like that or not, and be the Cat that I know I am and want to be. And like, that's going to be, instead of focusing on all this crap that's gone on in the last year, or negative comments or negative thing from the media or live commentary, whatever it is, like that's all just going to slide off my back, and I'm going to focus on my game, and then just like uplifting my friends or my competitors that are friends, and like spending more time just focusing on positive things and like being encouraging and juggling on a backup if I want to, and not feeling like I have to just be anything but, you know.
Did some of that come from just, I mean, was some of it, did some of those thoughts and everything of you, you know, kind of worrying about what other people thought, is that just, was that from, you know, stuff that had happened on the court? I mean, we don't have to get into specifics, but I guess, you know, was it, is it more just like having a hard time shutting out the noise, or was it,
I don't know. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I felt like, you know, a good example is like GBO, and not to bring up old things, but I had two competitors online literally calling me cheaters because my group made a call that I was inbounds, or that I went out of bounds.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, that's not cheating. That's what happens on every hole, and people are going to disagree. And with holes being 400 feet uphill or downhill, you just honestly, I personally think we should have drop zones on those holes to just never have that issue. But that's a whole nother topic. But I just remember like getting these horrible messages from people and all this stuff happening. And I just turned off my social media, focused on the gym, went to the course, worked on upshots and putting, and went to, was it Masters Cup, I think, or San Francisco, and was like, not even thinking about it. I have like killed those people with kindness. And then I just felt like I was very resilient and very just like focused. And then, yeah, it was like stuff just building, 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 and to the point where like I found myself in the middle of the round having some stuff go on. And I just kind of felt like it was a straw that broke the camel's back in a way, you know, just like, all right, I'm not capable of taking any more of this on by myself and taking the high road. It's too much. Like, I just can't do it. And so that, all that being said, I felt like for the next year, I just found myself like, yeah, really just not confident, uncomfortable on the course. Certain people would come around and it was like, I just didn't even want to be there on the course. There were games going on constantly and I just was like, and so now it's more like, I just not even going to allow it to get there. You know, like I'm just going to focus on me and the people who support me and my game, and that's it. And I'm just, yeah. Do like you, I said, do have you, a whole new swagger, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you feel any pressure to kind of have a certain mentality? Because, I mean, I know, you know, you and I have talked so much off the course. And I, you know, I feel like a lot of people see your very competitive on-course demeanor and attribute that to, like, you across the board. Whereas, you know, I feel like some of this maybe comes from people just don't know you. Is that something that, like, you want to work toward more? Or is it just kind of like, well, this is me on the course and that's what you get and that's what you get?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I know that maybe I should be better at social media and putting myself out there and stuff like that. But really, at the end of the day, my goal is just always to play the best golf I can play. And I feel like with all the hard work, you know, in the gym and in the field and always trying to change and better my game and, you know, something recently, I kind of feel like when I came into the sport, it was kind of just a big party, you know, like the focus was on like, where's the party? Where are we partying? Like party, party, party. And I remember like one year being like, I lost a tournament because I was like hungover, tired. We had to play two rounds in one day and I didn't sleep much. And I remember telling myself like, I'm never going to play another tournament like that. Like that's just not going to happen. And that's when I started bringing all that stuff back. So I guess and I don't feel like I should feel bad for that, because that's, if you're a man, that means you have ice in the veins and you're prepared and you're a fierce competitor, you know, like
I'm so glad you said that, because I have for a long time have thought there was a double standard in how people kind of perceive your competitive nature on the course. I think it's kind of ridiculous, personally.
Yeah, and it's literally how I've been since I was a little girl. Like, I think I can remember being younger than kindergarten in the backyard with my USA soccer ball, like, I'm going to play on the USA soccer team someday. Like, and like, so I have to feel bad for wanting to, no, I don't think so. You know, like, and I felt like I've always, you know, tried to just encourage other women. And I think, I don't know, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I feel like women's disc golf is going a more serious competitive direction. And if you're not doing something off the course or on the course to better your game, you're not going to place well. There's no room for like not being prepared or, yeah.
I love that you brought up the point about you feeling like feeling more confident that you can be your authentic self on the course, and that could be different than who you are off the course. Because I mean, you and I have played together a lot, and I don't do it as a full-time job, of course, but so I would say I'm a little bit like less serious and competitive. That doesn't mean I don't want to play well and I don't take the round seriously or the competition seriously or anything like that. But
right.
I don't think people and women specifically should be scared to do what they need to do to play well. And whether that means, you know, talking to their card mates in an appropriate, you know, at appropriate times, or just going off in their own little world, doing crossword puzzles or juggling. And no one should be judged for the way that they kind of get in the zone and compete. So I love that you're bringing that out.
And you know what? I think it's something more in disc golf than any other sport I've ever watched. In fact, I recently went back and watched the live commentary, and I think it's almost like weird how much we focus on it, actually. Like, oh, this card isn't talking and this card's talking. And like, I really feel like when I watch golf, I don't think and if it does happen, it's like it's very rare that they're talking about how they're interacting with their card mates or you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's something so weird that we focus on, and I don't know if it's like a drama factor to try to create something for the live coverage or something, but I think it's a weird aspect because, yeah, in sports in general, how you prepare and how you get down to the, you know what I mean? Like, get down and gritty and whatever you want to say. Like, why should that have, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't make you less or more of a competitor or a person, really.
Yeah, I think it's a product of this being such a small, it being viewed as not only a competitive sport, but also a community. And so, I've definitely noticed that too, where the commentators are talking about the card vibes, like, oh, the vibe is really upbeat and positive, or they're all kind of in their own little world. And I don't watch ball golf, but Sean, my husband, he's pointed the same thing out, where he's like, yeah, when you watch a round of ball golf, they're hitting the ball and they're talking to their caddy, and it's like the other three people don't even exist.
Exactly.
Because it's like a very singular sport.
I was watching the live commentary after this tournament, and I thought it was so weird how much the camera is on groups or what the groups are doing. And like I said, if you watch, I watch golf religiously. I love golf. They're just so focused on just, okay, here we are on the 16th hole. He's 157 yards from the fairway. Let's see how well Matt Kuchar does with his iron. You know, like, it's just very simple. It's not like, oh, I heard Matt Kuchar. You know what I mean? It's not like all this crazy drama.
I think some of it has to do with just where we're at in disc golf broadcasting too. You know, we don't have as many. Sure. We're not just whipping around to where it's constant action. I think we'll get to that point. I hope so.
That would
you're
be
right.
Really,
I mean,
awesome. Yeah.
Fewer. It's almost hard for the commentators sometimes. Like, they're almost having to pull storylines
Like fill in space,
make things go where it's like, you know, let's watch the shots. Let's watch Katrina throw down this, you know, crazy roller.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So going back to something that you mentioned several minutes ago, about social media. So I've told you, I think everyone should just do you. And if you feel comfortable doing things on social media, do it. And if you don't feel comfortable, you shouldn't feel a whole lot of pressure too. But I love that you've gotten out of your comfort zone recently and started the Competitive Cat Instagram page for women. So it's been active now for what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have access to it, but unfortunately Steve does not.
Nope.
So
that's okay. I know. I mean, trust me, I could use the help from Katrina, but you know,
so
I understand why I don't.
For our male listeners who are not lucky enough to have access to the page, how's it going so far? And what are some of your long-term goals that you have with the page?
So far so good. I got out of my comfort zone. I bought a little I'm so bad with all this stuff, technology, but
tripod.
Yeah, just a little one that I can like set on trees or somewhere to kind of do some video. And I actually filmed a bunch of videos of me talking just about field work and form and, you know, throwing different shots and just how I line up and stuff. And so I think it's going pretty well. And I think it's worked out really great to be women only, because like the feedback is just always so positive and encouraging. And I feel like I can just relax and put stuff out there. And if it's not perfect, you know, people are reaching out and like, hey, if you ever need help editing, I can help you with this. And so, yeah, it's going really great. And my end goal, possibly, and this is probably years down the road, but it's just to get comfortable and possibly maybe end up helping women training off the course, like in the gym and with their fitness. And then maybe down the road, coaching women on tour, you know, helping them with their, you know, being like a golf coach would have, you know, where I'm helping them with practice and helping them prepare for the courses and things like that.
That's awesome. Well, as being a member, I'm super proud of you for, I know we talked about before you just being uncomfortable being in front of the camera like that. And I think you're doing a great job and women are getting lots of benefits out of it so far and lots of value. So I think it's super cool.
Well, thank you. And I found if I drink like a big iced coffee or latte right before, it kind of gets me amped up and talking.
So nice.
That could maybe be a bad or a good thing, but
behind the scenes. That's awesome. So for those women who are not in the group yet, you should be. It's Competitive Cat on Instagram. But just for the show and maybe for some men that are listening, if you are playing amateur but really want to be competitive in the pro field, maybe someday be a full-time touring pro and even a world champion, what advice do you have? Let's keep it specific to women. What's like your biggest piece of advice that you would tell somebody who's like really like yearning to take it to that next level?
Okay. I would have to say two things because I feel probably very similar about them. And that would be to not let anyone put limits on you. Like, you know, like, oh, you'll never be able to throw this far. Or you'll never have a sidearm, or women can't make circle two putts, whatever it is. Just put all those out the door and you decide your limits. And then the second thing would have to be sacrifice and whatever that means for you. If you're a mom, if you have a job, if whatever that is, if you sacrifice, you can do it. And I feel like especially now, I came into the sport when there was like 7 women at a national tour, and I grinded and I sold discs, and I think even on my first year of tour, I flew back home and worked a couple of bartending shifts to make some money. Like, it's possible, and it just takes a lot of sacrifice.
I want to shift gears a little bit real quick. You know, I know you're quarantining right now, so you can go up to the Northeast and keep in with those guidelines on the pro tour. So you know, what have you guys been doing? What are you doing to stay busy? You know, you're in in Peoria still, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Peoria. There's probably not a lot to do there other than maybe go play some disc golf. But I mean, what are the limitations? Like, what do you have to be doing right now during this quarantine time in order to you know, follow the rules?
Well, it sounds like I'm just trying to follow what they're doing up in Vermont in the quarantine. And I think they're allowed to go play at certain times of the day, the courses up there. So really, we're just staying active outside and in our own little bubble. So yeah, I guess, field work, you know, we have our own basket. We have, played some courses because the courses are just dead. And I don't know if that's just after the Leadstone or what. So yeah, just practice and, hitting the range, hitting some golf balls.
Okay.
But yeah, just really, like I said, staying outside, staying in our little bubble and staying active. I do know that. Yeah, that's about it, I guess. And then eating food.
There you go. Now, how much time will that give you? How much time will that give you up in Vermont to get ready for GMC? Like, do you have any concerns about being prepped enough?
No, I think, like I said, with all the field work and things and playing that for, I don't know what year this will be for
several
me. I think,
now, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like my 6th year or something like that, 5th or 6th year. And yeah, we have to get up there in a day. So we'll be there Monday night, probably pretty late. And I just already have told myself, like, there's no pressure to try to, like, squeeze in 4 rounds and tire yourself out and over practice. Just, you know, it's going to be more of mental preparation and almost how I feel like maybe the golfers do on tour, because they're just everywhere every weekend and they're quick turnarounds. You know, they're done on Sunday, traveling Monday, and then they have to play on, what is it, Thursday every day.
Right.
So just kind of taking that mentality of like, okay, I know how my discs fly. I know how far they fly. So when I play my practice round, I'm not going to, you know, get upset if I'm not throwing great shots. I just need to look at the hole and say, okay, you've played this how many times? What's the right shot? What's the right disc? And then just go out and try to execute that for the week instead of, like I said, stressing myself out that I don't get multiple practice rounds and stressing myself out that I'm, after a full day of traveling up there, that I'm going to be tired and my body's probably not going to react. So just trying to be prepare without overtiring myself or stressing myself out.
Yeah. Now, I know you kind of alluded to this earlier with talking about maybe wanting to get into coaching some other women and everything like that. You know, and you mentioned you have been touring for a while and you've grinded. You know, have you thought at all about what maybe your career outlook is for, you know, the next few years in terms of like how long you keep touring, when you maybe try and, you know, get on a different model, or are you still happy with, you know, living on the road and playing as much as you are right now? Where are your feelings on that these days?
I do feel like when the tour kind of got going and we played for a few weeks in a row, I felt way better than this, like,
do you have like a little hangover from the quarantine, from the off season, second off season?
Yeah, that was probably the toughest, like to go to Arizona and practice for 2 months of like very specific and hard training. And then the season start and, you know, come out and play well in Vegas and then, you know, kind of struggle at Memorial, but then kind of get in a groove the last round at Waco and then just have it completely come to a halt. And then not sure, like, okay, so do I just go back into off season training? What should I be doing? Like, what, it was such a weird time, which I'm sure it was for everyone, obviously. And then, yeah, it was like, I had an event and then there was an event for a couple of weeks. So it got kind of weird, but, honestly, I know for sure the plan is to get to Arizona even sooner this off season and kind of stay in the grind a little bit. Nothing too crazy, but maybe instead of taking like the month to month and a half off we'd normally do, spending time back in the Midwest with family and friends, I think we'll keep that to a couple weeks and go there and really make sure we're prepared for the next season and see how that goes. And then that would be, I think, the end of both of our contracts with our sponsors. And so just maybe go from there, see how well next year goes, and see where what we're feeling at the end of next year.
Okay.
So at least one more full year is the goal. And I think, like I said, I'll see how I'm feeling there, whether that means like thinking about buying a house and doing more of the Nate Sexton, Paul Macbeth, where you fly out more to events, or, you know, I go out for mini tours and come back, or however that looks.
Very cool.
You're going to be looking at houses around Nashville, right?
Gosh, I know. Oh, man.
All right,
that is the worst. I have like really close friends in like all over the country. So actually, if everyone could please just pick one spot, that would make it better for me.
We can just build a commune. We've got 5 acres.
There we go.
Everyone all right, so
Nashville.
Yeah, here's the question of all questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite day in the gym? Leg day or upper body day?
Leg day.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I think it shows.
Now, I'm not going to, I don't want to call anybody out, but I have been watching a lot of disc golf lately, and there's some disc golfers who've been skipping leg day. I'm just saying.
What, they got like the twiggy legs?
There's a couple chicken legged disc golfers out there, man.
Yeah, for sure. They're working on their vanity muscles.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I don't know. We've actually been talking about that because I truly believe, like, knock on wood, this is what, my 10th year on tour, or 11th or something like that, 10 or 11. And I've never had an injury. Like, I've never had an injury where, like, I'm out for a month or I'm missing a tournament. And since I was, how old? I've been, you know, lifting weights because of sports my whole life. And I really do feel like there's something about, you know, you don't have to be ripped, but just building muscle so you're not straining your body all the time.
Yeah.
And stability.
Yeah.
Mobility. Yep.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I know you don't have to be super strong to throw a disc far, but I don't think it's a bad thing, you know, to protect your joints and all that stuff.
Yep.
Definitely. Well, Kat, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and, you know, give our best to Austin and enjoy the rest of your downtime before you head up to GMC.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That was Katrina Allen, and we'll be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. All right. Thank you again to Katrina Allen. Always really great to be able to catch up. We hadn't had her on the show in quite a while, Sarah, and
yeah,
you know, both you and I catch up with her, and we always talk about how much we enjoy catching up with her. I really do hope that this is us starting to see a rejuvenated Katrina Allen. I think it's you know, she crushes discs. I mean, it was funny. She was talking at the end of that. She was talking about how she's never had an injury. I think it's because her form is just flawless.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about that at Idlewild when we were working out together. And I was like, man, I mean, I wouldn't say I've ever. Well, obviously at Idlewild, I did have a little bit of a forearm issue because I wasn't used to throwing so many flicks out of the woods. But I was just astounded that she's never even, like, turned an ankle or slipped on a tee and, like, turned her knee, things like that.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. But I there's a lot of truth in what she's saying about, you know, building muscle and having that mobility and, yeah, just taking care of your body in general. Super important.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, one way you can take care of your body is to caffeinate it, right? Is that a thing? Is caffeinating your body taking care of it? Anyway, we've got the Birdie
yes.
Fuel Hot Rounds, Sarah. And why don't you start us off over on the FPO side? What's happening?
Speaking of that, I caffeinated my body twice today. I'm not
Same.
Proud of it,
it's
but
Wednesday.
It was 32 ounces total of Birdie Fuel coffee. I believe it was I grinded it up about a week ago, but it was still good. I think it was the sidearm special. Sarah nice. Hokum sidearm special. Still delicious.
Awesome.
A week later. Yeah. All right. So the hot rounds, I was pulling these today and I'm just like, man, I think if we were to compare these to hot rounds when we first started the show, we easily on the women's side are adding like 30 to 40 ratings.
Yeah.
Points.
Consistently. It's, consistently. Yes.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. It's like every weekend. The fifth hottest rated round was from Valerie Mondahano. She shot a 977 her first round to take first place at the Feather Friendsdemic. And, oh, let's see if I can figure out where this is. Did they get back to Texas? No, they're in Lockport, Illinois. There was a pretty good women's field there, 8 women. So congratulations to her. That was actually a women's only tournament. So awesome win. And then the fourth hottest rated round was from Ellen Widboom. She shot a 978. Her first round to tie for third with Lisa Fakus at the 2020 Professional Pittsburgh Flying Disc Open, driven by Innova. They played at Moraine State Park. And you can watch some of their footage from Disc Golf Examiner. And I know Ellen did some of the commentary on that. I'm not sure. By the time this show drops, it should be on YouTube. But I did catch a couple rounds from Central Coast on the men's side. Always, it's just... That course is just absolutely gorgeous, and it's,
yeah,
one, of the
it's one of my favorites.
One of the courses I learned how to play disc golf on over 10 years ago, so I love watching the footage from that event. The next was Owen Scoggin. She shot a 981 at the 2020 Sky High Showdown presented by Innova Champion and Ritual Brewing. She shot that her first round to take first place by 17 strokes.
Wow.
And that, yeah, that event was in Wrightwood, California.
Yep, so, not too far from me, up the mountain.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, great to see her name continuing to get on the hot rounds list. The next was Kelsey Brakel. She shot a 986 the first round at the Pittsburgh Flying Disc Open, and she ended up taking second. And then Sandy Hendel with the hottest round of the week, shooting a 991 her first round to take first place at the Ontario Provincial Disc Golf Championship, sponsored by Dynamic Discs.
Very nice.
Awesome. Super hot.
Lefty power. All right. Yes. Over on the MPO side, we got two 1057s to kick it off. Jason Light shot that in his first round at the Buzzard Roost Ruckus 5 in Douglasville, Georgia. Jason won that event. And Cam Kohlglaser won the Panhandle Open 4, powered by Prodigy, out in Milton, Florida. So they both had 1057s and both won their events. Very nice, gentlemen. Jacob Cutshall at the Where Worlds Would Have Been, sponsored by Dynamic Discs in Fall Branch, Tennessee, which is not Where Worlds Would Have Been.
Masters Worlds.
It would have been Masters Worlds. Okay, I was going to say, yeah, that makes more sense. I was thinking about, I thought maybe they were trying to say it date-wise, but then that wasn't even right. So, okay. That, yeah, I'm with it now. Anyway, Jacob shot a 1058 rated second round. He ended up tying for fourth place. Very nicely done. Chris Clemens, the winner of the Pittsburgh Flying Disc Open, due in large part to his hot second round, a 1060 rated performance, and he had to go to a playoff with Nathan Queen. Hope I didn't spoil it for you people, but it's it ended a few days ago, so if you haven't watched yet, sorry. Over in Finland, Mikael Rasanen with a 1067 rated first round won the Puiho Open, and shocker, Sarah, to see this name at the top of the hot rounds list. Chris Dickerson winning the Where Worlds Would Have Been out in Fall Branch, Tennessee with a 1069 rated opening round. I guess we'll double that as our Chris Dickerson segment of the week. Pew, pew, pew. Good stuff. All right. So,
nice
as always, the hot rounds are sponsored by Birdie Fuel Coffee. You can go to birdiefuelcoffee.com, use the code PDJRadio at checkout, get 10% off your order. You can get some of that sidearm special, or I bet they got some pumpkin flavored stuff, Sarah, probably. Yeah, they're going to, I'm sure.
I think so.
I'm sure they got
something. I feel like
something.
I've gotten pumpkin flavored. Yeah, if not, I'm sure that they will.
Maybe they actually wait till like October,
like they should.
Like everybody should.
Cool outside. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Sarah, we have a little bit of a shorter show this week, which that's okay. I'm good with it. But let's get to a little bit of run it or lay up before we go. We've got a couple this week. Why don't you kick us off? Because I believe you filled in the list this week.
Yes. So, okay, this is a term. Let me know if you have heard this term before.
I have not heard this term. I know what it is, but I've never used this term, but go ahead.
Okay, so I had to get some clarification on this. This comes from Tim Barnett, who, shout out if you're listening, Tim. Tim and I used to play Ultimate competitively together at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and... not in Indiana, but in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Very confusing. And we played on the team together. And then he also got into competitive disc golf and now plays disc golf. So pretty cool. But this is a term that I had not heard before. So it's layering discs is an overrated practice. And layering discs, he described as having the same mold for different shots that you beat in to different, you know, extents.
Yeah, I think I've heard that called, like, cycling discs before.
I think layering discs makes more sense. Cycling, yeah.
Kind of.
Cycling discs would be like
you're in
okay,
different
it's
wear,
two beat in, now I'm going to take it out of my bag.
Cycles of wear, your state, I don't know, yeah. Okay. Either way, I know what you mean. It's using one mold in different stages of wear, essentially.
Yes. Depending on one mole, in different stages versus just finding a more overstable or more understable disc for a particular shot.
And Tim's statement is that is overrated?
It's an overrated practice.
Oh, I'm laying that up all day. I freaking love doing this. I do this with a large portion of my bag. I actually prefer to throw one mold in different stages of wear. For fairway drivers especially, the Discmania FD in... you get a overstable second run FD, you get a regular, you know, S line that's just for your straight shots, you get a super flippy D line for your trick shots. I may or may not be giving Discmania too much airtime here, but that's my bag. and I love it. So yeah, give me all of the same discs in different stages of wear. Sarah, what do you think?
Interesting. So I feel like I do this with one disc in particular, and that is the G-Star Sidewinder. And that's mostly because I am just so loyal. Like, I don't know how I got it in my bag, but at some point at Am World in 2014, I got this, I think it's a 170 or 175 G-Star Sidewinder in my bag. And it has been there ever since. And so it became kind of a crutch. It's that disc where I always say, if I lose this, I'm quitting disc golf. And I have not, I have not lost it yet, knock on wood. But because of that, so that is so dang flippy now that if I threw backhand rollers, it could be a roller disc. But I've also, I guess, cycled in or layered in discs, more overstable discs on top of that.
Versus but are they the same? Are they also sidewinders?
Yeah. Okay. They're the same exact color, weight, everything. But I would say specifically for mid ranges, I do find different discs of different stabilities versus, because I rely on my Mako 3s for a lot of shots, like a lot.
Yeah, you kind of need an overstable complement to that.
Yeah, so for a while I was throwing an Atlas, which was a little bit more overstable, and then for something even more overstable, I was using a Star Rock 3 versus just trying to make the Mako 3 work for all of my approach shots.
Yeah.
So I know, I'm so undecided on everything. I'm going to run this because although I do feel like to some extent I'm kind of a minimalist, like I don't just grab the hottest disc off the rack and like toss it in my bag. It takes a lot for me to try out a new mold and put it in my bag for a tournament. But I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me is what happens when you lose that 2014 Worlds G-Star Sidewinder. And you don't have another disc that's that beat up.
Well, and
that's the problem.
But that's why you keep just, you know, just beat up two of them. Layer those discs together.
But there's nothing. That's what I'm saying, though, is there's nothing that's that beat up. Like, that would take 6 years of me beating something up.
Just go throw it against the wall for an hour, Sarah, you'd be fine.
I've actually had Sean do that before. Just take a disc and DX Rock and
rub it on the tee pad a little bit.
Over and over again at trees. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm gonna run this.
Okay.
I agree with Tim.
Oh, well, I disagree. So does Philo Brathwaite. He loves to layer his discs. that was a good one, though. All right, this one we've got. Bananas are good in cereal. I technically can't really run this or lay it up because I don't know that I've ever put bananas in cereal. But my instinct is to lay this up because the thought of bananas and milk sounds a little gross to me. I've put bananas in oatmeal, but I don't consider oatmeal cereal. So I'm going to lay up this one, Sarah. What do you got?
Okay, this is actually funny because it's from another guy that I played competitive Ultimate with at IUP. His name is DJ Lander. I'm not sure if he plays disc golf, but he has strong feelings about bananas and cereal, apparently. I have done it before, so I'm weird about bananas in the first place. I will only eat a banana if it's, like, just ripe enough to eat, like, almost green. When it starts getting brown and squishy, I'm out. Like, I'm done. So if the banana is firm, where it doesn't squish when you slice it.
No, now you're just trying too hard, Sarah. You gotta run it or lay up. It's not okay, bananas in certain stages of wear here. This is you're combining our run it or lay ups here.
What about if you layer bananas in cereal? Like you've got some that are really warm. I'm just kidding.
That's too many textures.
I haven't done it in a very long time, but when I did do it, I enjoyed it. So I'm gonna run this as well.
Okay. I mean, like, what kind of cereal are you putting it in?
I mean, I don't really eat cereal that much anymore, but yeah, Cheerios, I guess.
Rice Krispies? Like you got to put it in something neutral, like a neutral cereal.
Exactly, yeah. I would say Cheerios or Honey Nut Cheerios.
Although I will say, like, I enjoy a nice, like, chocolate dipped banana.
Yeah.
So maybe banana would work in Cocoa Puffs or something.
Or Reese's Puffs.
Well, yeah, bananas and peanut butter go together like peas and carrots, so yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Now I'm getting all kinds of crazy ideas.
Maybe I'll try it. I don't have any cereal. I know we've talked about my cereal habits during the pandemic, and yes. I had to stop myself from buying cereal because I was eating too much. So I don't actually have any cereal in the house right now.
So my hack I know that I cannot control myself around cereal. Like if I were to buy a full size box,
it's gone.
I'll just like, oh yeah, it's like gone in an hour. So I buy the little variety packs and use those.
Which is good, but then it's like, but then you look at the price and you're like, well, I can get that giant box of cereal for
it's
for
worth
less
it to me.
Than that mix pack.
It's worth it.
No,
and then
I know.
You get all the different types of cereal because I'm so indecisive. I can't just choose one big box.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Like, I don't need a tiny box. I mean, I would if like it was the only thing in front of me, I would eat a tiny box of Corn Pops or Fruit Loops, but I don't need it that bad. So I'd rather just get the big box of what I like. So
yeah,
all right, well, if you have any runner layups you want us to tackle, send them to us, radio@pdga.com, and Sarah and I can give them a go next week. You got any shout outs before we leave today, Sarah?
I don't think so.
Wow, you have been real. I think I just need to take the shout outs out of the show. You've been shout-out-less lately.
I think I shouted myself out a couple weeks ago.
Shouted yourself out?
I shouted myself out. I have another shout-out for myself. Okay. Sean and I are embarking on a new little disc golf project.
Okay, let's hear
Actually, well, I'm not going to release the details because it's more Sean's project than mine.
It's a tease. Even better.
But I have another shout out. I think this goes hand in hand with the one that I did a couple weeks ago. I usually run a big mixed doubles event that benefits the South Carolina Cancer Alliance. I used to live in Columbia, South Carolina, so that's where I run it every year. And since I had to cancel it due to the pandemic, I felt really bad about not being able to raise any money for the Cancer Alliance this year. So I'm working with Disc Baron, and if you have not checked them out, you definitely should, discbaron.com. They are one of my sponsors. Jacob Stahl is amazing, and they're out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he is helping me with all of the ordering and fulfillment and shipping of custom discs that I will be selling, and every dollar of all the proceeds will go to the Cancer Alliance, and then a cut will also go to Throw Pink because it's a Throw Pink event.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I decided on a stamp that I worked with an amazing artist on, and hopefully they'll be in production. It'll be all in of a molds. I'm not sure what all we're getting, but a pretty good variety. And hopefully we'll have them in stock on discbearing.com in a month or two, I'm hoping. And then I'll also be doing a raffle of a couple bigger items that I've got around here. Yeah, so all the money will go to the Cancer Alliance. So I will, if you don't follow me on the Instagrams, check that out, and I'll be making some announcements here in a few weeks. It's sarah.hungryforlife.
Awesome. That's perfect. That's shout outs reinstated, Sarah. That was a good shout out. So, anyway, hey, thanks for, I'm glad you're back this week. It was good to catch up, and we'll be back next week to talk Green Mountain Championship. So until then, please do us a favor, subscribe to the show, give us a nice review with, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stars, and share it with your friends and enjoy. So we'll be back next week. For Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PDJ Radio. Be good to each other, and we'll catch up with you soon.